Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Shifting Gears Podcast. I am your host, Justin LaRoque, here. I am the marketing manager for Spectrum Automotive Holdings, and this podcast is presented by Spectrum Automotive Holdings. And we are really excited because we have another great topic here today. We're going to be talking about post-sale vehicle service contracts and the agent's perspective on that. So before I get into all that, if you are new, please take a moment to make sure you like and subscribe if you're watching this on YouTube, or follow us over on our social media platforms, as we are on all the major platforms like LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And this podcast here, if you're not familiar with, we talk about anything and everything dealership and automotive related. So everything from F&I best practices to how to sell at your service drive, to bringing on guests that talk about their careers and how they got to where they are today, and different avenues of that nature that we can really dive into. So I'm really excited because today's guest is Mickey Quinn. He is the president of Vanguard Dealer Services. I always like to clarify, I am not the expert when it comes to a lot of this automotive talk, and that's why we bring on these experts. So I'm really excited to have Mickey Quinn with us here today. So Mickey, how you doing, man?
Good morning, Justin. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for joining us. I know you're a busy man, so I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us here today a little bit about this topic.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So before we get into the actual topic, I just want a little bit of a background for you. How long have you been with the company for? And tell us a little bit about Vanguard as a whole.
I've been with Vanguard 20 years. We are an F&I development company. Our day is spent in the arena of a car dealership, working with the personnel in the F&I department, trying to improve the customer experience and the dealership profitability.
Awesome. Okay, so let's get a little bit into details on this. So, you know, we know how important that the vehicle service contracts are in general, obviously, for the dealer.
Sure.
So now we're talking about the post-sale, mm-hmm. being able to approach this in a way that after the customer has already left. Can you elaborate just on that process first? What does that look like?
Well, I think, first of all, you have to remember that the vast majority of car dealerships in the United States, more customers are likely not to buy a service contract at the time of sale than do. Mm-hmm. So I think it's very important, you know, thinking that in certain places, 50 or up to 70% of the dealership's customers are leaving the facility without buying an extended service contract. So it's a big market. It's a big piece of white space for the dealer to go after those customers that haven't purchased a service contract at the time of sale. So it's actually a new revenue stream for the dealers. Also, if they can accomplish and execute at a high level, then, you know, not just the profitability from the sale of the service contract, you got to remember that the customer is very likely going to come back to the selling dealership to have the work done under the terms of the service contract and generate more revenue for that dealership. So it's a very important piece of what our dealer does. And think about it, if that customer is coming back to the dealership for repairs that aren't costing them a lot of money and they're getting a rental car for the day, then they're going to be very likely to purchase another car from that dealership.
Okay, I was just going to say, so this really can even play into the big picture of customer retention.
Hey, listen, it's all about customers for life. And, you know, car dealers and people like us have known for, you know, half a century that the vehicle service contract, that extended warranty that we talk about, is a number one hook that will bring that customer back to the dealership and hopefully have them buy another car and create them as a customer for life, for sure.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned about that there was, it's been about, I think you said like 70% where now customers are just not, they're buying it after the fact, if anything.
Certainly here in the tri-state area of New York, we're at about 30% penetration on the sale of vehicle service contracts.
Okay.
Mainly because a lot of our customers are lease cars in this area.
Okay, so that does play a role.
But sure, but throughout the United States, the numbers are, you know, 50% or greater of the customers are leaving the showrooms without purchasing a service contract at that time.
And that's still a huge chunk.
I think 50% of chop 50% of your arm off, would it make a big difference?
Just a bit.
Okay.
So with that then, you're kind of, we're talking about the benefits here to the dealer. It seems like, that they have a big opportunity to create the second stream or another stream of revenue.
Sure. Well, listen, you know, for years, car dealers have tried to sell those service contracts to the customers as they come through the service drive for repairs. Mm. And no one's really executed at a very high level. So the idea that now we can do it in a very compliant manner and reach out to customers in a way that's not annoying them or bothering them at dinner, and we can reach the masses there and have them contact us as opposed to us contact them, then I think it's very beneficial for the customer. And, you know, that customer that is not getting harassed on a telephone at 6 p.m. at night, however, is getting something in the mail that'll strike a chord with them where they can pick up the phone on their time and make the phone call to us or to our provider and talk about buying an extended service contract at that time. We see that consumer much more likely to purchase something than the one that we consider that's being harassed at 6 or 6:30, or like myself, six times a day I get a phone call from an unknown extended service contract company to try and sell me something that I don't even know what it is.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, I know I get a lot in the mail, things like that, that are from these third-party companies. What is that about exactly? I mean, they're...
Well, listen, you know what these companies do, they're very slick, they're very well marketed, and what they do, they'll insinuate to the consumer that they're contacting them on behalf of the dealership that they bought the car from, and they're not. So it's very important for the dealerships out there to protect their reputation and engage with their own post-sale company so that everything is done under the word of the dealer principal. It's signed off by the dealer principal. The people in the dealership are trained to know how to answer the telephones or talk to the customers when they call about being contacted by purchasing an extended service contract. And it's really reputation protection. And you know, in our dealerships, we are making sure that everyone from the receptionist to the general manager is in tune with saying to a customer, hey, if someone contacted you via the phone, it was not us unless you called them first. If it is not, if your a piece of mail is not signed by our dealer principal, Mr. Quinn or Mr. LaRocque, whoever it is, then it is not from us. And we've seen over the course of the last 3.5 years when we really engaged in this process, we really see our dealer's reputation being protected in our stores for sure, because when the consumer gets a call from one of these fly-by-night warranty companies, they're able to say, hey, you know, my dealership told me that they won't call me. My dealership told me that. There's a lot of reputation protection going on also.
So that's crazy that there's this misconception of, you know, I mean, I've talked to friends who have been angry at their who they thought was their dealership, and it actually had nothing to do
with
them.
Nothing to do
with
the dealership whatsoever.
Yeah.
Nothing. You know, very cute. They'll contact them and say, hey, we're calling from, on behalf of, and it's absolutely not whatsoever. And many times those contracts that the consumer is buying is not really recognized in the car dealerships throughout the United States. And when the consumer shows up for repair, they're looking at a problem. It's a reduced labor rate. It doesn't cover this. It doesn't cover that. So the consumer is always going to do better when they purchase from the dealership that they bought the car from, for sure, because that dealership's going to be really in tune with making sure that consumer's happy.
Yeah, wow, that's crazy. Shady stuff going on, you know.
Get the car guys get the blame.
Right, I was going to say, you get the front end.
Yeah.
So give me a little bit of an example. Like, you know, I put here, if I'm a dealer and I want to make sure that my customers aren't being spammed, you know, how does the post-sale program deliver the customer experience?
Well, the first thing I would say to any dealer is that if your agent or your provider of your F&I products is not speaking to you about this, they're doing you a disservice, because that's a revenue stream that, you know, our data suggests that it's substantial. Mm-hmm. It's not something to be sneezed at. Yeah. So first of all, the dealer needs to get in contact with their agent and talk about these post-sale programs that are out there and find the one that they're most comfortable with. We found at Vanguard that we were much more comfortable with companies that did not call our customers unless requested by the customer. Mm-hmm. We would contact them via direct mail or email. If they responded to that, they would say, I'm sorry I didn't get you, can you call me back in this number? And that's the only time that the company that we do business will contact that customer.
Right.
And then, you know, the customer will call into the call center, and our provider will free them. You'll get the VIN number on the car, the data, the mileage on the car, and then they'll provide that customer with all the options that are available to them. They can sell it and execute and have the contract valid before the customer gets off the phone.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it's first day coverage. There's no waiting period. There's none of that.
Right. Okay. Oh, good to know. Then, yeah, I feel like there can be a lot of misconceptions about this whole program in general.
Well, listen, they're not really misconceptions, because over the last 10 or 15 years, there certainly have been some companies out there that have sold a tremendous amount of extended warranties and then disappeared overnight and left the consumer holding the bag.
Sure.
So it's not a misconception. There really are some companies out there who are not considerate of the consumer. But you have to remember the place that you bought the car from, if they're marketing you and they're trying to send you an extended service contract and you have an issue with your car and you bring it to them, the likelihood of that car getting fixed goes up by four or five times than it would be if you were just pulling in with an extended service contract that the dealership never heard of before.
Right. Right.
So it's very important for the consumer out there to understand what they're purchasing for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you have any best practices that a dealer should consider when they're looking into a post-sale vehicle service contract?
Look, you know, we went after the biggest guys. We looked at the biggest guys. And that's who we did business with because they have the ability to get things done quickly. They produce their own meal. 30 million, 40 million pieces of meal is no problem to them whatsoever. They've been doing it the longest. They're 20, 25 years in the business. And they execute at a very high level. And you know, one of the things that really attracted us to them was, you know, they had did 150 million pieces of marketing. Wow. And they had two complaints at the Better Business Bureau. So in this business, that's practically unheard of.
Yeah.
So that was what really attracted us to them for sure.
Wow. Okay. What should dealers look for in an agent that that provides these type of services?
Someone that's going to be honest with them and bring them the best provider and execute it. You know, the dealer principal is going to say, yes, this is something I want to do. But then the agent has to take over and make sure that the staff is trained and that everyone understand what's going on, because what happens a lot of times in these programs that you'll get the consumer to actually walk into the dealership and say, hey, I received this in the mail from your dealership. I'm really interested in buying a service contract. And at that time, you know, the dealership has to understand how to handle that customer and how to get them to F&I or to get them to someone who can sell them that extended service contract.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of groundwork that goes into making it successful. And then obviously following up and making sure that any claims or any problems that arose from this program are handled very quickly and that the consumer that has bought it feels as comfortable as the customer who bought it at the time of sale.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. Mickey, those are kind of the questions that I had for you. Is there any other points that you wanted to leave with here today before we wrap things up?
No, other than the fact that, you know, the dealer principal listening to this podcast has to realize that the vast majority of their customers in many places, not everywhere, but in many places, certainly where we do business throughout the United States, are not buying service contracts at the time of sale for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And it's highly likely that that consumer is not going to buy another car from that dealership.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to keep it for 36 or 48,000 miles, think that the warranty is going to run out, and then they're going to start looking for another car. That consumer that has the extended service contract is 3, 4, 5 times more likely to come back to the issuing dealer to have work done on their car. And then it stands to sense it doesn't take a genius to figure out that if they're coming back to you for the repair work, that they're more than likely to buy another car from you if you execute at a high level when they come back to your dealership to get the work done.
Sure, sure. Yeah, you still have to deliver the service.
Sure, absolutely, 100%.
Yeah.
But the key is to get them back there.
Totally. Absolutely. Well said, Mickey, and I appreciate you being on, talking a little bit about this topic here. I'm sure this won't be the last time.
You know, I have to tell you that prior to getting involved in this, I was probably the most skeptical guy because I was getting those 4 or 5 phone calls a day.
Yeah.
I was getting tortured at home at night. But when I looked at it and we looked at the providers, and then the one that we selected was absolutely head and shoulders over above everyone else, and we seen some of the companies that did business with them throughout the United States, then we said, okay, we'll roll this out slowly. And it was so successful for our dealers, you know, not necessarily the agent. It isn't a big money maker for the agent, but for our dealers, our clients, who it's our responsibility to increase their profitability and find new revenue streams and create customers for life.
Sure.
Then these post-sale programs that we can deliver to our dealers really enhance all three of those, right? Profitability, customers for life, and customer satisfaction for sure.
Yeah, and I know that's something you stand by, as Vanguard cannot be successful unless their clients are successful.
So as an agent, you have to understand one thing. If we are not making our clients more profitable, if we are not delivering customers for life and high levels of satisfaction, we will no longer have that dealer as a client.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Yeah, straightforward. Yeah, absolutely. Well, with that being said, Mickey, again, I appreciate you coming on board here. Where can the people find you online?
You can find me at vanguarddealerservices.com. I'm on LinkedIn. And, you know, my phone number and everything is on our website. If anybody wants to reach out to me, they're welcome to do it.
Excellent.
And I will certainly talk to any agent out there or any dealer principal that hears this regarding the program that we use and how successful it's been and how it drives revenue, not just in the sales process, but in the parts and service department also.
Absolutely, absolutely. Do you have any events or anything that you're that's coming up that you wanted to mention?
Sure. So we're going to be at the Agent Summit this year in Las Vegas, and then October I'm speaking at the Digital Dealer Conference, where we will be talking about how in 2020 we watched our dealers go from 0 to 100 pretty much overnight when it comes to digital F&I.
Awesome. Well, I think that covers everything. Mickey, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it. Have a good day.
Absolutely. You too.
And there you have it, folks. Another great interview, this time with Mickey Quinn, president of Vanguard Dealer Services. If you guys like what you heard, make sure you're following us over on YouTube. Make sure you're following us on all of our social media platforms like LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We appreciate you guys taking the time to do so. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out. You can find me over on LinkedIn. Again, my name is Justin LaRoque, as I always host this podcast. Appreciate you all taking the time. And until next time, we will catch you on the next episode.